Welcome along to our Dublin Arsenal Premier League preview show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On the show tonight, Thursday, February 5th, I'm joined by fellow Gooner David Sims, better known as Score Guy in X, and by Sunderland fan James Pigg, to chat in depth about our Match Week 25 clash against an ever impressive Black Hat side under French coach Régis Le Bris. Arsenal versus Sunderland will be live this coming Saturday on Premier Sports 1. Kickoff will be at 3 o'clock. Come join us in the River Bar, Wimbore Quay, Dublin City Centre for all the pre and post-match atmosphere. So sit back and enjoy the show. First things first, to our guests, and I know David will be a gent on this side of things, to welcome our away fan, James Pigg, Sunderland fan. How are you, pal?
I'm really well, thanks. And yeah, pleasure to be on the podcast.
Brilliant to have you along, and thanks for taking your time out to come on to this podcast. And also joined by Mr. Costa Rica, heading for Miss World Contest come the end of the year. David Sims, how are you, pal?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just trying to keep rehydrated after a big celebration, obviously, in the week, getting through to the Carabao Cup. But I'm doing well, mate. And James, thank you so much. James is from my local boozer in that I used to live very close to Kingston upon Thames, and I know the landlord incredibly well. I've known him for over 25 years. And yeah, if you're ever in Kingston and you want to go and watch any football or any sporting event or any boxing, James will know Rick is the man. That pub is quite special. It's one of the original sports bars. And the stuff that goes on in that pub, we can't talk about.
Well, we'll keep it behind closed doors, so we'll see what goes on behind closed doors, says behind closed doors. As I ask every away fan that comes on, James, what made you choose Sunderland as a fan?
Well, I didn't really get to choose. It was my dad. And as you can tell, I don't really sound much like a Sunderland fan. I was brought up in exile, grew up in South America and the United States, and been living in London for the last 30 years now.
Right.
But yeah, I was cursed with it by my dad. It felt like a curse for a long time. I've cursed my sons in turn. One of them's been going to the games with me for years. He went to the playoff final with me last year and the playoff final against Wycombe Wanderers the year before, a couple of years before, other. My other son has just joined the fun, so we're calling him the Glory Seeker.
Your favorite memories of supporting Sunderland, James? Anyone stick out in particular?
Well, the playoff final, frankly, at Wembley, being at Wembley with my boy, I don't want to admit how much I paid to be in there with some VIP tickets, but we got to have lunch with Tony Mowbray and Alex Neil, I think it was, that also turned up. And Tony Mowbray got a round of applause from the fans when he turned up. So that was nice to see because we all appreciated him and what he did for the club. Yeah, so that was brilliant. But I have to say, I was also at Wembley with my dad, who's no longer with us, sadly. But I was there for the Charlton Athletic playoff final where we
Oh, what a
were
game.
four
What a
all,
game.
four all in open play, three all in regular time, four all in extra time. Then we lost it on penalties. And dear God, for my work, I used to have to go to Charlton, the Valley, Charlton Football Club, and go into the briefing room there. And a full page mural in their briefing room of Michael Gray missing that penalty, I had to look at every time I went in there for work.
Yeah, that's what a playoff final that was. Yeah, I think Clive
Brilliant.
Mandonka got the winning penalty, didn't he? Yeah,
Yep.
what a final that was, though. Yeah, Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips, what a striker duo they were back in the day. Great to have you
Fantastic.
along, James, and I'm looking forward to this preview show as always.
Yep.
First thing before we move on, the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club are doing a special Stanley giveaway on Valentine's weekend. Competition will run in the FA Cup week of the Wigan Athletic fixture. More info on our social channels, and thanks to Martin Stumville, who edits this and puts it up on YouTube and our social channels. So big shout out to him, and definitely a good giveaway there for the big day that's in it. Also, a bit of news as well, due to our involvement in the Carabao Cup final on March 22nd against Manchester City, our fixture that would have been penciled in for that weekend, Wolves versus Arsenal, is now moved to Wednesday, February the 18th at 8 p.m. So another one that David will be in Costa Rica for, so even a more alcohol filled February for David. He's not complaining.
I'll be there for the final. I'm sure James is very aware of Central America and its vices and South America. So, yeah.
I'm getting very envious of those blue drinks he's drinking, James. He has
it
different
does
colors
look.
every time. It's it must be heaven and paradise. I'm living in 100% rain at the moment here in Dublin. It's a million miles away from paradise, that's for sure.
Yeah, here as well.
Into our match preview, of course, and Arsenal versus Sunderland, Emirates Stadium, kickoff 3 o'clock on Saturday. Overall head-to-head stats in this fixture: total matches 145 played, 59 wins for Arsenal, 45 for Sunderland, and 41 draws. Current positions for both sides: Arsenal, of course, top of the tree; Sunderland, an impressive 8. Total points: 53 for Arsenal, 36 for Sunderland. 4 more points, James, and you're safe. goals scored: 46 for the Gunners and 27 for Sunderland. Previous scores in this fixture, of course, 8 in November of last year, an impressive 2-2 draw that Sunderland done really well in. Ex-Gooner Dan Ballard scored an absolute screamer, and Brian Robbie got a nice late equaliser for Sunderland. Arsenal won 5-1 back on the 21st of December 21, and on the 16th of May 2017, Arsenal won 2-0. That's our last three fixtures there against the Black Hats. Arsenal are unbeaten in their last 18 home games against Sunderland, won 13, drew 5 since a 2-1 loss at Highbury in November 1983. Sunderland have won just one of their last 28 Premier League games against Arsenal, drew 10, lost 17, a 1-0 home win in November 2009. Sunderland have never won in 16 Premier League away games versus Arsenal, drawn 5, lost 11, only visiting Liverpool more often without a victory in the competition, 17. Four of Victor Gyökeres' six Premier League goals for Arsenal this season have come against the promoted sides, three against Leeds and one against Burnley. Sunderland's Tommy Wright was the last player to score home and away versus Arsenal in the same season in the 1953-54 season. So there's the stat for you. Robin Roofs has made toward most saves in the Premier League, 76, and joined fifth most clean sheets with 8 coming into this game. David Raya, of course, is 12 for the Arsenal, and a very impressive 8, I have to say, for Robin Roofs. Assist wise coming into the game, this is for both sides. Our ex-Gooner, Granit Xhaka, with 5. Enzo Lefebvre with 4. Martin Odegaard, Leandro Trossard, both with 4 for the Gunners. Declan Rice, Nnordi Mukayele of Sunderland, and Riccardo Calafiori as 2. Top scorers coming into this game, and this is for both sides as well. Victor Gyökeres with 6. Brian Brobbey and Leandro Trossard with 5. Martin Zubimendi, Wilson Isidore of Sunderland, Eberechi Eze, Bukayo Saka, Declan Rice, and Mikel Merino, who sadly is injured and it looks a bit long term, all with 4 goals. And Shevstini Talbi of Sunderland with 3. Coming to yourselves, James, as I says, it's great to have you along as an away fan. Your take on Sunderland season to date, this must be a dream season for all Sunderland fans. There's no way you would have expected to be in a position. And I'd like to get your take as well on the summer signings that he's made. Really were handpicked signings when you look at it, and in particular, how impressed with you are you with our ex-Gunner Granit Xhaka?
He's fantastic. And in a lot of ways, signing Granit, which is quite early on, was in some ways the start of that brilliant summer of acquiring some superb players. Although I should also give honourable mention to Enzo Lefebvre, and that was one of the real brilliant moves Sunderland pulled off after years of watching the club be really badly managed and really badly run, with some really poor player selections and a manager sort of shuffle that was worse than Chelsea in the worst of their days. It's just great to see the club acquiring such good talent. And again, once we had Xhaka in the side, I think it made it easier to sign other players. And it's not just the quality of the players we've signed and the fact that we've got such fabulous value for money. And I mean, Robin Roofs is a great case in point. There's talk of silly money being offered for him already. And he wasn't even our first choice goalkeeper. We lost the guy that we were after. I can't remember his name offhand, but Roofs was, thank God we didn't get our choice, because I don't think he would have been nearly as good as Roofs has turned out to be. So yeah, it's been fabulous. But not just the acquisition of the players, but the fact that they play so well together and that they've integrated as a team so quickly, it's just phenomenal. And like I say, Regis Labrie, and not just Regis Labrie, but Speakman, the sporting director, and bringing in people like Florent Gizolfi into the club. For me, that shows how the whole management and the whole sort of player acquisition and trading, we used to be the suckers in the market. We used to pay over the odds for people like Didier and Dong, who would rubbish. And I don't even want to mention the words Jack Rodwell, but you know, I kind of have to in this context. So it's just incredible to see the club being so efficient and also ruthless in the way they are dealing in the transfer market, and so effective. And like I say, and it all coming in together so well under Regis Labrie. And who would have thought the Messiah would turn out to be a Frenchman? It's just incredible. And of course, as Arsenal fans, you all know about having a French Messiah in charge for a period of time. But yeah, I can't speak highly enough of Labrie and the way that he's managing the team and integrating these players.
I think, David, as I said, Sunderland getting Granit Xhaka was a Leverkusen. I say all Sunderland says, God, this is going to be some season getting a player of his calibre. What have you made of Sunderland season to date? It's just been quite incredible. And we found out at the Stadium of Light, David, how difficult they are at home. And in credit for credit to Sunderland, their home form will most definitely keep them up.
You start with one of the best fan bases in world football, and that's where you start with. Everyone has the respect for Sunderland and who they are and their fans. And, you know, they've got their noisy neighbours that always seem to sort of get the money and get the moment. But Sunderland has the respect of every, you know, I've met so many Sunderland fans, you know, I've been up there, and yeah, it's always banter and it's always, you know, kind-hearted, and they're an amazing bunch of fans, without a doubt. And they'll have a great time, not that good a time, but they'll have a good time on Saturday down at the Emirates. I think you know, their season's been outstanding. I mean, you look at other teams that have come up, you know, and they're struggling a little bit, but they started and they just took off. I mean, they were in the top four for a little bit. They were
Right,
pushing for the top. Do you know what I mean? It was just outstanding. And I think, you know, Granit has, you know, he left us, and he went over to Germany. Obviously, did incredibly well, and then wanted another challenge and wanted to come back and prove himself again in the Premier League. And you know, he loves his country, without a doubt, and he loves the football in England for sure. It's a real shame that he's going to be injured tomorrow, and I don't know if he is going to make it. I mean, is he out, James, for sure?
I would be
Good, thank
surprised.
you, thank
I'd
you.
be very
Okay,
surprised
yeah,
if he made the starting lineup. Maybe he'll be on the bench, but I doubt that.
yeah,
That we,
yeah.
you know, we tend to be more careful than that with our injured
No,
players, and you
I
know.
think exactly. I think you need him for the long run. You don't need to rush him back for a glory, you know, which would basically be
Exactly.
a, it would be you know, be a testimonial if he came on the pitch. I mean, it literally would be. I mean, it'd be, you know. So yeah, I mean, outstanding. Also, all I can say, it's going to be, I know we'll get into the details of the game, but it's going to be a difficult game tomorrow. I've got a few takes on that, but we'll come into that when we discuss the how we think the game's going to go.
Going back to Sunderland, James, what players has impressed you most this season, up to date, with 24 games played? I have to say, the signings from France, Siddiqui, Mukiele and Diarra, no one really knew about them, you know, coming to the Premier League. But Regis Labrie, he's kind of like a bit like a Werner. He can pull these signings from his homeland, can't he? And they're young and they're energetic, but as you said, how quickly they've gelled is quite amazing, isn't it, into the Sunderland team?
Well, one of the things that I think gives me a bit of hope for tomorrow. I mean, I've had the pleasure of watching three of the London games, and that's one of the great things about being in the Premier League. So many London fixtures,
Lumber
and I live
fixtures.
down here in London. And so I really enjoyed Chelsea. What a great day out that was, again with my son who went to play a final with me. But obviously, I didn't get to Fulham. My daughter very inconsiderately got married on that day, so I couldn't go to the Fulham game. But you know, it was a beautiful day for me anyway, and we lost, so I didn't say. But yeah, our London form hasn't been great, and I did get to watch Brentford put three past us, and then West Ham put three past us in person. So our capital form hasn't been great, and our away form hasn't been great. I mean, I think we're third in the table at the moment for home form, but we're languishing in 17th place for away form. And but having said all that, the team's now recovering from a period where we had so many of our players out at the African Cup of Nations. And Habib Diarra coming back because he was injured, and then he was at the AFCON, and he's come back, and he had a fantastic game against Burnley.
He did.
And so it gives me hope that the Diarra might be able to not quite fill the Granit Xhaka-shaped hole in our midfield, but he gives us something very different, and he gives us a real attacking threat, which, I'm going to call that first goal the Diarra goal. I know it was given as an own goal, but, those were two great goals that he managed to squeeze in for us. So yeah, the fact that we've got our team is now back from AFCON. We're missing a couple of injuries, Bertrand Traore on the right wing, but I do really think that maybe tomorrow will be a day we'll at least not concede three goals like we have done the last two times we've played in London, and hopefully we can at least come out with a draw. And who knows, maybe Brian Brobbey, who is in great form and is really looking strong, maybe he can pull something off for us.
I think his physicality in particular could cause William Saliba and Gabriel a few problems. All right, James, spot on there. Going back to the game on November the 8th, at the Stadium of Light, James, 2-2 draw. And I have to say, that's me, David, and the panel when we were previewing this game, we did fear this one. It wasn't going to be an easy game, and I kind of had visions of a draw. What was your take on that game, James? Were you surprised by the result at all at the Stadium of Light, or,
Very happy with the draw against Arsenal. I mean, we were the first team to put any goals past them in something like 8 or 9 games, wasn't it? And they'd been keeping clean sheets. They're unbeaten in a very long run. And if we were going to lose a game at home, that was going to be it. And so the fact that we managed to get ahead for a period of time, and then get the equaliser, again. And Brobbey, again, that was that his first goal for us? It might have been.
I think it might have been, James. Yeah, I think it might have been.
And it's taken him a while to get to full fitness, but he's always looked impressive. His physicality, like say, holding on the ball at Chelsea, the winning goal that we scored was all down to Brobbey holding the ball up and holding the ball up, and no one could take the ball off him. And it's really hard to take the ball off him when he's got it up around his feet. And he laid it off for Talbi, and that was easy. It was an easy goal for Talbi. And frankly, the Chelsea midfield really let themselves down. They didn't track back at all. Talbi had a free run at that. So, that was Brobbey showing what he can do and holding the ball up. But he's now starting to find the net himself as well. And I think he's really to be feared as a striker right now.
In particular, one player that impressed me, David, back in November when we played at the Stadium Light was an ex-Gooner playing for Sunderland at the back, Dan Ballard. Probably the only survivor really of the team that came up from the Championship
Not
when you look at
quite.
that 11.
No. We've got a
Maybe a
couple.
couple more, but in particular, I have to say, James, Dan Ballard has impressed me though. He looks like a proper Premier League centre back, doesn't he? He's got all the qualities and attributes of a Premier League player now.
No question about it. And again, Ballard is another example of Labrie's insight and his cleverness as a manager. In the run-up to the end of last season, Ballard had been injured and he wasn't getting the side. He wasn't the first choice centre back at all, but he got thrown into the side for the playoffs, and he was selected ahead of others for the playoff. And there he went and scored the header that got us through against Coventry, and has again really proved himself. And like you say, in the Premier League, he looked like he'd always belonged in the Premier League. And again, thank you, Arsenal, for not hanging on to him and letting us have Dan Ballard. And again, people are saying now he shouldn't have declared for Northern Ireland because he could probably get himself into the England side.
He wouldn't be far off. He's definitely one of the most informed centre backs in the Premier League this season. And no, I say himself wouldn't have saw that. And of course, Liam Brady brought him through in the when he was in the youth setup at Arsenal. David, do you foresee another physical game at the Emirates, like we saw at the Stadium of Light? They're a physical team, and as we mentioned, Dan Ballard and Brian Brobbey in particular, they're not afraid to put their foot in when it needs be.
I think the game will be different. I think the game will be very different, to be honest with you. They're not at home. Their away record isn't great, as James quite clearly said. They haven't got Xhaka. They've had a few little. They've had to check move some changes. They've got some great wingers, as we know. We talked about Diarra. Obviously, Ballard will be a threat, of course. He'll be up for it. You know, playing against Arsenal. I mean, you know, it's a bit of spice. But I just want to temper James a little bit. So the 2-2, with all respect, was a cracking game. Myself and Jonathan and the panel, when we were talking to the preview show for that, were obviously concerned. That last minute equaliser, 94th minute and whatever, that was something that, and I talk about this every week, and all the listeners that we have on here who are wonderful know that we're in a learning process. This team is in a learning process, and you have to go through the pain to get and control the pain to get better and take the prizes. And that was a very, again, like the Man United loss a few weeks ago, that was a painful 2-2. And I think that's something that the team took from. So in a way, I would like to thank you for the pain that you gave me, but also to give you the worrying point that in that game, our injury list on that day was Madueke, Odegaard, Havertz, Jesus, Martinelli, and Gyökeres. And every single one of those is fit for tomorrow, for Saturday. So we have an entire team that were fit, and that out of all of those, nearly most of those will start. I mean, I'll get more into depth of how I think we're going to line up. But I think there's going to be, just as there's been a little bit of revenge, strong word, but a little bit of humble pie and a bit of revenge happening, I think Arsenal and Arteta will want to get a good win. We're very buoyant after what's just happened to us in the week. So yeah, I do think it will be a difficult game. I'd be interested to know, James, are you thinking it's going to be for Arsenal? Every single game is rinse and repeat, low block, three buses, double deckers parked across. I know you play 5-4-1 usually. Do you think you'll come? You're not going to come and play football, are you? You're going to probably sit as deep for a half at least, I'd imagine.
Well, you know, that's our strength is defensive. We don't score a load of goals, and we have to be quite precise. And we're not, to be honest, creating a lot of chances. So, you know, we are scoring a good portion of the chances that we create. But again, that's one of the perhaps if there is weakness in the side, we're not getting forward from the wings as effectively as we might like to. But we can break with really good effect and. Certainly, Ruff's distribution is phenomenal, and he very often can pick out Brobbey from the sort of he's almost in line to get himself an assist. But again, you're right. Arsenal with a full squad and no injuries are going to be a real handful at home. So I don't anticipate any swashbuckling endeavours in the at the start, and it will be a sort of attempt to hold Arsenal. You know, pin them as much as we can and not let them play. But yeah, it as much as I feel we could get something out of tomorrow, it's not the game that I'm looking. It's a frankly, it's a free hit for us. We if we lose at Arsenal tomorrow, it's not like, oh dear God, what's gone wrong with our team? You know, it's a really tough fixture, the toughest fixture in the calendar right now, Arsenal at the Emirates. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be a cautious approach at the start, but we shall see. It's, you
Do
know, I.
you, one other question about your amazing manager, Labrie. Do you think he will obviously have watched our game against Chelsea in the week. Do you think he would like to do Rizinho, as I call him, the Chelsea manager? Do you think he'll do some little tricks and put three up when there's a corner? Do you think he'll try and do a little bit foolishness and sort of makes more space for us? Because
Well,
everyone's talk, everyone, all the media are talking about it, saying, you know, Chelsea, you know, beat the Arsenal set piece play by putting these players up the pitch. And if you've got wingers who can break quickly and whatever, but
well.
obviously in doing that, and we saw it because obviously the second time we got a corner, he did it again, and it gave us so much space that we nearly scored from it. It was the other, you know. I think that if you're going to do that, I think three is too many players. I think you're giving the opponent so much space then in the box to defend. But I mean, you know, do you think that he's that sort of professor to sort of look at that, or do you think he'll just do his own thing and just play his own game?
Well, I think some people are calling him the professor, but the thing about Labrie and the way he plays, you talk about a 5-4-1, but it's not really a 5-4-1 formation, and you can't say that he's playing to fixed formations. And people on the pitch, Nnadi Mukiele, our right back, is very often overlapping, going up onto the right wing, and Trai-Hume, no one really understands what position he's playing in, and he is one of our survivors from the Championship, who's played regular first team football this season. And I think we picked him up for £30,000 or something from in League One, and he's playing very well for us in the Premier League. We've also got Isidore Wilson is still in our squad and our second highest scorer, and we've also got Dennis Sirkin coming through quite well. And there's nothing I enjoy more than watching Luke O'Neill come on and score a goal against Everton and play quite well against Everton in the FA Cup. So it's a real pleasure to see. But again, I think one of the great things about Labrie is it's not easy to figure out how he's going to set up, and it's not easy to understand exactly what his formations even are. And he sometimes goes into 4-4-2s, and then he'll go 4-3-3, and then so it moves around a lot and during the game.
Good.
Yeah, I think David and James, I think Granit Xhaka is a big loss to a midfield for you on Saturday, isn't he?
Oh,
Aside
it's a
from
huge loss.
coming back to the Emirates as an ex-Gooner, he's a big loss, isn't he? And in the middle, I feel that's where it could play be vital. You know that's where Arsenal could capitalize. You know, but there is a lot of you know there's a lot of pace in that Sunderland team as well. You know, like say Mukiele, Enzo Lefebvre. You know, and you know there's you can see. You can create chances from out wide as well. You know, I noticed Simon Adingra went on loan to Monaco during the January transfer window on deadline day. Were you surprised, James, that you didn't go into the transfer window for another signing, or do you think that there's enough quality in that team now to obviously you're staying up? Would you like to push for a European place? Because it is a very realistic target now, isn't it?
Well, we did actually. We've bought two players in the transfer window. Both of them wingers, both of them dribbly wingers. One of them is a guy called Tabby that we brought in from the Israeli league, and he's one for the future. But the other guy, Nilsson Angulo, is quite an established, again, hard-working dribbling winger, can play on both wings. And part of me wonders, is he going to pull that guy out of the bag? Because he's been playing first team football in Europe, in the Belgian league. And a lot of our players have come from the Belgian league and done very well in the Premier. It's not as if it's an
Absolutely,
untried experiment. So yeah, we have got a couple of wingers, and one of them who looks like he could be, oven ready type thing, and the other one is one for the future. And that's, again, as I mentioned before, that's where we maybe haven't looked so great is on the wings. And we've played Enzo Lefebvre on the left, and he's great, very hardworking. And Traore, to be fair, has come into form, but he's now got injured during the AFCON, so we won't be playing him tomorrow on the right wing. And so it didn't surprise me that again, that's part of the ruthlessness that I was talking about earlier on in the transfer market. Adingra didn't really seem to work out. He's scored one goal for us, and he was a nice goal, but he, people have said he isn't like a Labrie winger. Labrie wants his wingers to work hard off the ball,
Track
cover the
back,
defense,
help
track
out,
back, and Adingra wasn't that guy. Whereas the new chap, Angulo, apparently very much is. His off the ball statistics are very good for interceptions, tackles, and so forth. So yeah, I didn't feel we needed to spend in the transfer market. The January window is for desperate measures, really,
Over
or
an
for
inflated
shoring up
prices as well, James, isn't it? The January transfer window, yes.
there's very little value there usually. And again, we're now, we're still 13 points clear, I think, maybe even more of the relegation zone, and 9 places clear of the relegation zone. We're safe. I know mathematically people say, but I've felt like we don't need to worry about relegation for weeks now. Because when you look at who's down there and the number of points that they've got, it's going to be a struggle for them to catch up. And a lot of teams, we have to fail more than a lot of other teams to drop that far. So
Yeah.
again, that doesn't mean that so I'm happy that we've got these wingers. I think they're good prospects, interesting, exciting looking players, both of them. So yeah, that's exactly what I would have done if I needed to put my hand in my pocket at that time. I'm pleased that we didn't lose Gertruda to Liverpool. I'm glad he stuck around, and I don't think anyone knows the real mechanics of why that didn't go through. But yeah, I'm glad we kept him because he's really useful in a lot of positions, and he gives us a lot of resilience. So yeah, we didn't need to spend money, and we tidied up the squad. We've got a lot of people out on loan. We got a few permanent moves. Patrick Roberts, kind of sad to see him go. He's been a great
Yeah,
servant for
yeah.
Sunderland, but I wish him luck. Yeah, so it's all
Good.
good as far as I'm concerned in the transfer market. I didn't want anything more than they've done, and I would have been happy if they'd done nothing, literally.
Yes, yeah. It's refreshing to say that when you come to this stage of the season, say a lot of Sunderland fans might have been thinking when Klopp got there, might be struggling to survive here. But Sunderland have really shocked me. But the way you play football under Reggie Labrie is really refreshing, for a team to have come up, and really it's great. Your home form is amazing. I always love watching you this season at the Stadium United. He's a force to be reckoned with, and rightly so at home. There's been a couple of players though that have played for both sides, and that have worn the famous red and white, you could say, both sides. Seb Larsson, the
Ah,
Swedish
yeah,
winger,
he was a great player.
played 6 seasons for Sunderland, 184 appearances, and 1 season for the Gunners, made 4. Remember, he scored a cracking free kick when Martin O'Neill was in charge against Blackburn. I think he's won 2-1 that day at the Stadium United. And that's what he says. God, he had moments like that at Arsenal as well. That
He had
didn't
some
use
nice
time.
set. Yeah,
He
he did
he's a
some
set
nice
piece
free
king,
kicks.
wasn't he? Yeah, dead ball specialist. Yeah, Danny Welbeck, 26 appearances and 5 seasons for the Gunners, 128 for the Gunners. Granit Xhaka, of course, he was only into his early stages at Sunderland, but he made 297 appearances for the Gunners and really came into his own in the last season. He's with the Arsenal. I thought it was a kind of refreshed a bit for under Arteta. Nicholas Bentner, or King Bentner, as he was better known as, played 1 Sunderland for season, making 28 appearances, and 6 for Arsenal, making 136. Stevie Bowles played two seasons for
He's got no
Sunderland
hair, but we don't
and 8
care.
seasons for
Yeah,
Arsenal.
absolutely.
Yeah, Sunderland got him really at the back end of his career, didn't you, James? He even played in Highbury when Arsenal won
He
4-1
was
that day.
Steve Bolt. Steve Bolt always was at the back end of his career
He
from the
was,
day he
yeah.
started, isn't
Yeah,
he?
he never aged a day, though. Yeah,
He
he
looked
still had
like
that bald head, hadn't he, all the way through his
he was
career,
in his last
even in
week when he
1989.
started. Yeah, exactly.
Justin Hyde, Vito Minnone, Dan Ballard, who currently is player with Sunderland, Mark Pulme, and Stefan Schwarz. Now, that's going back a few years. They've all
Swartzy.
donned. Your favourite memories, James, since we have you on, of Arsenal and Sunderland's fixture? Any games that stand out for you in this one? Goals or memories or anything that springs to mind? Either home or away, you can choose from here.
I have to admit, no, I'd have to go back a long way to the old ground at Highbury with my dad, and just because that was a game I got to see with my dad. But
Yeah.
yeah, and I can't even say I remember the result, but I think we got beat.
There's one game I was looking back on, Arsenal.com. They go back the vol, they call us when we play our next upcoming fixture. It was 4-1 at Highbury. Davor Šuker got a double that day. And Thierry Henry was another one. I think he might have scored in the same fixture. Actually, that was some he scored. He does cut inside Stevie Bowles and unleash a shot that I think Thomas Sorensen was in goal that day, the Danish goalkeeper, and it was 4-1 that result. I think Niall Quinn may have got the goal. And it was the last player on that day, an Irish player donned the Arsenal jersey. Graham Bird came off the bench, and we haven't seen another Arsenal player since. So that was in 99 to 2000 season, which is quite incredible. I've done a piece for the sports journalism piece for that one. Dave, is your favourite memories of Arsenal Sunderland?
Well, the Suka incident, what you brought up, is one of mine. But I just want to go. I don't really want to talk about. I want to talk about my personal memory of Sunderland.
Yeah.
I remember I was 9 years old. I watched the FA Cup in 1973, showing my age. And Sunderland beat Leeds 1-0, and it was just a huge. It was, again, back in those days, for the younger listener listening now, these were the only games that you ever got to see as a football fan. And Bob Stokey, who was the manager at the time, he had like a trilby hat, and he got on the pitch, and he was an older fella, and he was about 9 foot tall, wasn't he? and he would just sort of, he was dancing with his hat on, and it's just one of those memories that, it was just, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. We'd started, we'd been to the FA Cup the year before, lost to Leeds, and and won against Liverpool year before that, and it was my beginning of being a football fan, and it's something that I always remember was that game. So really, I suppose again, that's why I've always carried that fondness for Sunderland, because they beat Leeds, because I absolutely hated it at that time, because they'd beaten us the year before. So I think that's where it all starts, isn't it? When you've got those stories.
If you got time for a
But
little story,
yeah, for
we
ahead,
were
James,
living
yeah.
in Argentina in 1973, and my dad saw how Sunderland played in the third round and put a big bet on them to win the FA Cup, and so he ended up paying for his flight tickets from Buenos Aires and cup final tickets for him and his dad to come to England and watch the FA Cup final and
Wow,
watch them win
fantastic.
on the winnings from that bet. And he said to me he thought about hedging his bet when they got to the final. He thought he should put money on Leeds as well to make sure
Yeah, just cover
he
both
didn't do it in
sides.
the end. He just thought it was wrong, and so he didn't do it. And thank God. So
Jim Montgomery was the
yeah.
man that day, wasn't he? In goal.
So again,
Jim Montgomery.
Jim. And the double save that he made, that was a fantastic double save. That was what kept us in the game. And
It's always been a
again.
classy club, though, James, with Niall Quinn as chairman. I remember his testimonial. He gave half of the donations to Great Ormond Street Hospital and half to Crumlin Children's Hospital here in Ireland. And also, when Jermain Defoe was playing, there was a young mascot, actually, who sadly passed away. Son of the mascot, Bradley Lowry, was the young lad's name. And it kind of stuck to me that there's a piece on YouTube, and it's a real tearjerker, how he ran up to Jermain Defoe because that was his favourite player, and Jermain Defoe
Remember.
says it stuck with him, and he's kept in contact with the parents. He was the one player that he came up to, and it's the small things like that, aside from football, shows the human side of everything, doesn't it? Regardless of who you support, it's one big family, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I have to say, it's those two pieces were classy touches, I have to say, and I've great respect for Sunderland, as David says, a great set of fans, and Eamon Donnelly has said this to our other pundit that does be on. Your prediction for Saturday now, getting to the serious business, James. How do you feel, hand on heart?
Oof. Well, I can't see us winning, so I'm going to go for a hard fought one all draw.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, after 2-all at Stadium United, it mightn't be far off. Yeah, David, can you see a convincing Arsenal win?
Sadly, James, yeah, Timber and Calafori will absolutely destroy your Timber and Calafori will destroy your wingers. And we are very buoyant, and with us playing before Liverpool play City, we're gonna beat you 3-0 again.
There's a score line there. With 90 seconds remaining, I'd like to thank James Pigg, our Sunderland fan. A pleasure having you on, James. Thank you for taking
Nice
the
to meet
time
you,
out.
Jonathan. Thank you for the opportunity.
We hope to
Cheers.
have you on Monday evening if you're free for our review show. All going well. And also thanks to David Sims from the Costa Rica jungle. Catch a show on the Dublin Irish
Cheers.
YouTube channel and also on Spotify. So until the next show, come on, you Gooners.
Cheers.